Well, I have summarized in a statement for you the current information we have and the position that we're taking on the crisis in the Middle East. And I want to begin by saying that New Zealand made a statement along with more than 40 other countries at the special session of the UN Security Council in New York, Saturday our time, on the Middle East crisis. And we are strongly supporting the efforts of the UN Secretary General to bring about an immediate ceasefire to the conflict in the Middle East and to negotiate and implement a solution to the crisis. Together with the great majority of those who addressed the Security Council, New Zealand called on all sides to pull back from violence, observe international law, and allow international facilitators and mediators a chance to put a peace process together. We have traditionally taken an even-handed response on Middle East issues that is reflected in the statement. We have condemned the killing and detention of Israeli military personnel by the military wing of Hamas and by Hezbollah and call for the immediate release unharmed of the soldiers who they are holding. We have also called on Hezbollah to stop the rocket attacks on Israel and for states who have influence over Hamas and Hezbollah to act with restraint in the interest of the wider international community. And our message to both organisations is that confrontation and violence are destroying the prospects for peace settlement in the Middle East. We've also said that we cannot accept that Israel has reacted either with due proportionality or caution, that its attacks on the occupied Palestinian territories and on Lebanon, targeting militants and infrastructure, have also destroyed housing and caused hundreds of casualties, most of them of civilians. Further suffering has been caused through the denial of the basic necessities of life and forced displacement, affecting hundreds of thousands of people in Lebanon and the occupied Palestinian territories. We have said that Israel should heed the many calls to restrain itself and allow full immediate access to relief efforts, and that it must release officials of the Palestinian Authority whom it has detained. We provide core funding for four United Nations humanitarian agencies working variously in the occupied Palestinian territories in Lebanon. They are UNICEF, the United Nations Children's Fund, the World Food Programme, the Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, and the UN Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees in the Near East, UNRWA. There will be an appeal for emergency funds for the Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs launched in New York today. We will be contributing $500,000 to that flash appeal, and we are also lifting the annual allocation to UNRWA from $300,000 an annum to $1 million per annum. We are very acutely aware of the serious humanitarian situation in the areas affected by the crisis. With respect to New Zealanders, the latest, as of 1:30 today, is that 78 Kiwis have left Lebanon, 73 went to Cyprus, 2 went to Turkey, and 3 went through Israel. As of this afternoon, there were 45 New Zealanders actually in Cyprus, of whom we expect about 20 to leave on Australian charter flights in the next 24 hours. Others have made alternative arrangements of various kinds. 12 New Zealanders left on an Australian charter flight, which is due to arrive in Sydney at 8 o'clock tonight, our time. We do know of 40 New Zealanders who are still in Lebanon, of whom 9 wish to leave. Even as recently as the last day, people we were not aware of came forward. And we are advising all those who want to depart to go to the port for embarkation as soon as possible. We have MFAT staff who have been brought together to be in Cyprus, staff from London, Berlin, Rome and Ankara, and they have been arranging accommodation for New Zealanders arriving by boat and helping them with onward transportation arrangements. So it has been quite a big operation for us to look out for the Kiwis who are there. With respect to the rest of the week, obviously there have been a number of statements out from ministers today on child and family intervention programs, first in schools, work-life balance survey. Tomorrow, Steve Mahari has an e-learning action plan to launch. Mr. Burton will also be speaking at a Justice Department-sponsored seminar on crime and justice, where UK experts on crime and penal issues are speaking. The announcements I first showed last week by Mark Callan are actually this week with the release of the next stage of the tertiary reforms. We have the Aquaculture Industry Conference this week, addressed by both Jim Anderson and Trevor Mallard. Reserve Bank OCR announcement on Thursday, and David Cumnock also has a significant speech to the annual conference on migration and investment. Any questions? Well, I think there's been extraordinary confusion about what happened, and I think that's on both sides. I've spoken directly to Mr. Peters. I spoke to INSAT the day reports came through. It has been made very plain to me that Mr. Peters was not aware that arrangements for media questions had been made at the start of the meeting. He expected a photo, but not other arrangements. Well, you will have to sort that out with him and INSAT and Mr. McCain's staff. I absolutely accept there was confusion. I understand Mr. McCain's staff may have vacated. It may well be that INSAT did, but in Mr. Peters' mind, he believed that media were coming in for a photo and that he would be speaking to media at a later point. Now, really, I think that's where the story should end. There's clearly a confusion. I think the visit was a substantial one, and it should not, no, we shouldn't have this cutting over it.
We were specifically told right in advance of the meeting that we were able to
Well, what he's told me is that he was aware there was to be a photo call, but that he would be dealing with media questions later. And that's why I say I think there has been clearly a misunderstanding, and that's really a matter you need to deal with him about. Well, it's a misunderstanding when one of the key players in a meeting is not aware that certain arrangements have been entered into. And it really remains a bit of a mystery to me why this becomes the issue of the moment rather than the very favourable statements that Mr. McCain was making and has continued to make since the meeting, as he has for a long time, and the very good meeting that was had with the Secretary of State and others. Yes, I can, because Mr. Peters was under the impression that this was to be a photo op. Well, that was his understanding, and again, Barry, you need to put those questions to him. I'm reporting my understanding that he believes it was a photo opportunity, that he would answer questions at a later point. Some questions were asked, answers were given. There was a certain amount of time for the meeting. He thought it was time to get on to the meeting, and that's what he said. It's hard to see that Senator McCain took any offence in what had happened. I appreciate the media were disappointed that it ended, but I don't really think it justified the attention it had. I certainly do. Well, I think there are a number of media management issues which need to be addressed in Mr. Peters' office. but I also think that the media need to be professional enough to rise above these very petty spats and deal with the substance of the issue. Well, I think the confrontation escalated after very adverse reports to him were run. And you know my view, it's always a pity when the media become the object of the story rather than reporting the story. There was a real story in Washington, and that was considerable warmth towards New Zealand. And I don't think what is essentially a petty spat over when and where questions should have been asked should blur that. Well, I think an antagonism has developed which appears to be mutual, and my advice to you as to Mr. Peters is to work to repair it, like mature adults. No, certainly not. Absolutely not. I think there's been a misunderstanding all round. I think it's fundamentally over an utterly trivial issue, and I think both sides should take steps to repair the relationship. And that will be my recommendation in future, where the New Zealand media are taking such an intense interest in the visit.
Well, that's a question for you. That one of your ministers put out a statement that had several untrue Phillip-like, the media filled up late for him, and he knew that the media was there
Well, whether he knew of that or not, I could not say. Perhaps you should pop along to his press conference now and ask him those questions. Well, I understand there had been several questions at that point, and where I have some considerable sympathy for Mr. Peters is that I have conducted many meetings myself in a short time frame, either when I'm calling on someone or someone's calling on me. And if a phone call which turns into a question and answer session goes on too long, that really does eat into the meeting, and you have important points that you want to get across and you want to hear from the other person. So that, I think, explains some of the sensitivity around it. I hasten to add, I really find it surprising that this is considered the major issue today. Well, perhaps he thought he had. I mean, who knows what was going through his mind at that stage, except that I am convinced that there was a complete misunderstanding about what the timing of media questioning would be. Well, you've got a lot of experience of how I handle things. I like to see on an overseas visit the media presence as an opportunity to communicate back to New Zealand the substance of the relationship, and my staff and I go to considerable lengths to facilitate and support media access to meetings. I think we're taking a press secretary in future to help smooth those relationships so that there aren't misunderstandings would be a good idea. Well, possibly, but he may have thought it was churlish to do that at the beginning, even though he says he was surprised by that. I really think these are matters you need to address with him. I mean, I'm personally concerned that the media relationship with Mr. Peters is as it is, and I hope that as mature adults, both sides will take the opportunity to address it. Well, I haven't seen a transcript of the questions. From what I've seen, the questions were perfectly okay questions, and the answers were terrific. And I think probably Mr. Peters' concern was how long did what he believed, is not the time for questioning. How long was that to go on, and would it eat unduly into the meeting? So I think it's unfortunate that it's blown up over this. Well, he's obviously concerned about the fracas that's resulted, and as I say, I would hope that both sides would find a way to communicate with each other over. It's a bit of an irony if you're calling for a ceasefire in the Middle East and can't call for a ceasefire between the New Zealand media and Mr. Peters. Well, it might be part of the papers dealing with the media from time to time too. Just look those who are going for more exciting press conferences. Even take your tape. Sorry, Ruth, would you like to repeat your question? I guess everyone hopes that one day they might work their way back. Well, obviously, from the beginning when I announced the ministry after the confidence and supply arrangement had been entered into, and then obviously after the report there wasn't any question of reinstatement at that time. No, certainly not, and there's been a great deal of communication with my office about this, obviously going back to Tuesday when we released the report. Well, I really don't have a position on that. It's up to him whether he asks to be released from that. That's what I'm expecting. Well, it's a document that's going up for consultation. Remember, in this country, we do put significant tax issues out for consultation in great detail. And well, again, if I give you clues and then you don't agree with the verdict, I don't want to build up hopes or dash hopes, but simply say that business tax review was one of a number of major policy initiatives that I foreshadowed in the statement I gave as Prime Minister at the start of Parliament, and we're aiming to make progress on all of them, as we are, and getting this document ready to go out for public discussion in July was the timetable we set, and that's what we're meeting. And obviously I think it's an interesting document, and I think the business community is interested in it. No, I really think you have to put that to him. I'm not going to start off any opinion on that. What I would say is that any money saved, I'm sure, has been spent several times over on legal bills since. Well, you'll have to raise that with him. I'm really not getting into that. Otherwise, I'd be standing here running interference on all sorts of issues in people's rental houses or whatever. It's entirely up to them. But you'll note that the person who was at the heart of the issue at the start has never come to New Zealand. Well, that's entirely up to others to determine. I've discharged my obligation, which is to see whether there's a conflict of interest as a minister. There isn't. But as I've said ad nauseam, there are significant areas of judgment revealed in the report, and that's not satisfactory. What are your feelings about what Robert did to the Well, Ross has pursued this for a number of years. I actually can't recall whether the Labour Party caucus has ever taken a position on it. So I really don't have an opinion on it. I haven't read it. I can't even remember having a briefing on it.
But in my opinion, you think it might get more merit, just
Well, it might or might not. It would depend entirely on whether it had the force of a standing order. If it didn't, it would be in effect a moral document which would aim to set a probably fairly general benchmark, which everyone would then argue about whether or not it had been reached. Well, I'm not going to utter any view at all, because any view I utter would be seen to be influencing the speaker in one way or another, and I don't intend to do that. No. I think people see it as one individual who has been conducting his practice as a member of parliament in a way that's less than satisfactory. I don't believe so. The general reaction one gets is disappointment that someone lets the New Zealand Labour Party down. No, no idea. No idea. Well, as I said from Tuesday last week, the Labour Party leadership on the whips have taken up with Mr. Field the issue of how to draw boundaries between personal friendships and public representation, and not to let the two get blurred. No, you can't place restrictions on an MP, but you can provide general guidance. Well, firstly, I haven't read your lead story this morning. Secondly, I haven't seen his comments. Thirdly, it's quite a number of years since that unit switched. I've got no reason to believe it's any less effective than it was. Probably looking round about the recess.